Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we've got markets that continue to churn and not do much and not really care. But of course, we had the jobs number today, and we will discuss that at the end of the day. But overall, you know, there's not a lot of reason to believe that there's anything of too much excitement yet. We need to break out of this range that we are in. We need to get out of the doldrums of the markets that continue to just really just jerk around and not do a heck of a lot. I think that overall you've got just a situation that we are depending and spending too much time on outside sources of what's going on. And at the end of the day, okay, it becomes a bigger problem because as you wind tighter and tighter and as you have more interference and more interference, you are going to find out that the Federal Reserve and their BS is going to be the bigger problem that we see, because at the end of the day, okay, the markets are going to go where the markets are going to go no matter who interferes. This is the one thing that we have to learn about the free market society, and eventually free markets will resume and free markets will take over, because that's the way that the worlds collide. Okay. And of course, at the end of the day, there's a lot of stuff going on, which we're going to cover later today. All right. Because in the middle here, we're going to have I have a guest coming up on mental illness. Now, I know that many of us have people either in our families or know people, or maybe, you know, suffer from a little bit, you know, ourselves. We've heard some very famous athletes who have suffered from bipolar, which is really just another term for manic depressive. And, you know, we've all seen stories about that. And Linda Baron Katz from wrote her own story, who struggled with this her whole life. And she wrote the story from her book, which is Mental Illness, Her Own Story. And I thought that, you know, I'd like to share with you a little bit about that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that for the next couple of segments. Then we'll come back at the end and close the show out with exactly what the jobs report was about. What does it mean? But in the meantime, I did want to share this time with Linda Baron Katz, because I think that you'll find it to be interesting. And again, if you've had anybody in your family that affected, you will feel better about some of the things that are going on. So here is Linda Baron Katz.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Linda, tell us about yourself and about your book so we can get real prepped up, so we can get into some good conversation.
Well, my first book, Surviving Mental Illness, My Story, is basically a memoir of my heartbreaks and challenges that I faced growing up with bipolar disorder. And it also talks about the process I went through to achieve what is called in mental health recovery.
And
I knew mental illness started to affect me when I was little, because my mother was the first person to develop a mental illness in my family. And it had such a major impact on me as I grew into adulthood. I mean, she was sort of in denial. She wouldn't take her medications. And my parents had awful arguments about it. And even the thought of mentioning divorce was a possibility. And, you know, as I grew older, I grew more depressed. And in college, I developed an infatuation over a guy and was very obsessed over him. And from time to time, I would have these depression outbursts. And after college, I found it difficult to get a job in the business world, since that was what I was interested in at the time. And it was very hard to get a job. I was wondering what was wrong with me. Why isn't anyone hiring me? What am I doing wrong? Am I in the right field? So I had all these questions building up on me. And I even was verbally abused by one employer and couldn't wait until the day he fired me. And then when I was 24, I had gotten manic episodes. I had 5 periods of mania in my lifetime. And my father had to send me to my mother's psychiatrist, and he diagnosed me with bipolar disorder. So it was really a tough time then for me and my family. I probably scared them to death.
Right.
But they knew what was happening, and they got me help. And I didn't want to be like my mother, who hated to work. And I liked to work. And I always thought that working was the best possible solution for recovery. And I stuck with my psychiatrist and my therapist. And I even went to a supported employment program to help me get a job, to help me build my resume, to help me build my interviewing skills. And eventually, I was able to get a job, but eventually I said to myself, you know, I don't want to go back in the business world. You know, I can do a whole lot of difference if I helped people. And I found the best way to give back was in the field of mental health, where I would be more accepted and where I would be able to help other people with mental illness strive to do better, strive to recover, strive for their goals and dreams. And now I am a certified peer specialist, which is what I do now. I work with seniors who have mental health issues, and I work with them on their goals, their dreams. I conduct group workshops on wellness, nutrition, recovery, peer-run groups I do with them. So it's very satisfying and rewarding at the same time. And it helps me also as a consumer, as a peer myself of mental illness. And, you know, and I think that's why I wrote the book, because to educate other people with mental illness, to give them hope, to give them a life, to let them know that just because they have a mental illness, it is not the end of the world. It is just the beginning.
And when did you first realize that you had a problem to yourself?
I think I realized it in high school.
And we're talking to Linda Baron Katz on a very serious issue, and that is depression. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. It's the time. Well, Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we're visiting with Linda Baron Katz and talking a little bit about mental illness. Let's get back to Linda right now. Here we go, back to Linda.
Because in high school, I was dealing with some psychosomatic issues, and I was told that I might need to see a psychologist, and so I did then. So it was in high school that was when I really started to know that I needed counseling, therapy, and, you know, and since then, I've been in counseling and therapy and in treatment.
Okay, and so the treatment is good, but let me ask you this question. I know you've been in treatment, but would you say maybe the treatment from writing your book might have been the best treatment of all?
You know, I think so, because every so often, I read my book so often and read it when I'm down, when I'm up, and read it, and, you know, it's therapeutic for me. And when I was writing it, it was also therapeutic. So I think it has helped me a lot, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's important because, you know, many people, I mean, I think everybody struggles with some forms of depression. Obviously, some is much worse than others, but it is definitely a problem. And, you know, many of us try to push it to the side and try to get around it. And, you know, obviously not everybody is understanding about somebody who's going through an episode with depression, because it's very painful. And, you know, you don't understand why somebody always wants to be like sleeping in the dark rooms, because it just, you know, when you're sleeping, you're not having as many issues with that. But, you know, what we tie in, and basically this is a business show, but we also, you know, people that invest also run through, you know, some feels of depression, which is not, you know, to your degree, but I think it's important that everybody understands that it's okay that you have a problem, and the best way to deal with it is to deal with the problem and use the appropriate tools and help, and such as reading your book, which will help people get through these episodes at no matter what degree they are. You know, obviously life is full of challenges, and of course bipolar has been recognized, and we've seen many, many people, many famous athletes, many famous business people suffer from that, and it's hard to overcome, but you've managed to take it to the next level and really overcome it. And, you know, do you think there's things that trigger that the depression episodes? Are there certain things that you have to try to stay away from when you feel them coming on? Or how do you recognize when the problem is getting worse?
Well, you know, with mental illness, it's a thing. There is no cure to it. And to this day, I still have my ups and downs. And like on Monday, you know, this past Monday and Tuesday was a Jewish holiday for me, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. And on Monday, I was at synagogue, and I was upset. I've been having problems with my own sister, who has a serious mental illness, but she is in denial. And I had these thoughts that were so obsessive, one coming after another. And I felt this tremendous amount of hatred for my sister because of her refusal to get help. And I know that's not her fault technically, because she's ill, but still, she's going to be dealing with consequences of her actions. And, you know, I couldn't take it anymore, and I just broke down, cried. I thought of myself admitting myself to a psychiatric hospital then. And I had to leave the shul, the synagogue, and went back home. And I called my clinic where I go to, the Advanced Center for Psychotherapy. So I wanted to talk to a psychiatrist or a therapist there. And they told me to come in right away. So I normally don't drive on Rosh Hashanah, but I did take the car. And I went to the clinic and I saw a therapist and she talked to me. And she said, sometimes you've got to let go. You cannot let your sister push you around anymore. You've got to learn to let go.
Right. And of course, that is always a hard thing to do, and especially when you're struggling. Because, you know, part of, depression issues are the deep-seated thoughts that build up within in your mind. Now,
yeah.
By the way, Lashana Tova, by the way. So when you're struggling, or when somebody else is struggling, and how do you go about helping somebody who's struggling? What are some of the things you do to help somebody?
Well, I do peer groups with them, peer support groups. And I do workshops on different types, like on wellness, on addiction, on recovery, on anger management, goal setting, you know, so many therapeutic workshops for them. And I also help them with one-on-one counseling sometimes whenever they need someone to talk to. I listen, and I'm there for them. And it's really nice. Plus, I work with seniors. So I learn a lot from their experience as well, what they've been through. I think one of the hardest things in this life is that when you've done all what you can for a person, and there's a point when they don't want to be helped, and you can't do no more than what you are doing, and you reach this climatic point that you can't help them anymore. And you're wondering, did I do enough? Should I have gone the extra mile? Would it have changed anything? I don't know.
Now, so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So it's tough, you know.
It's very tough, and you know, of course, you know, we're reaching right now a bunch of investors and a bunch of traders. And, you know, obviously we don't struggle to the degree. I mean, I'm sure some do because, again, you know, bipolar and depression is an extremely serious issue. And there's a lot of things that help bring it on. But, you know, if you were talking to somebody about goal setting and, you know, give us an example of how you would, you know, set goals for, you know, how you would set them, what would be the time period you would set them for, and how you would go about doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I'd want to get a clear picture of what their interests are, what they like to do, and what they want to do with their life. Like, I work with seniors, so they don't want to go back to work again. But maybe they want to explore another senior citizen center. Or maybe they want to have more relationship with their grandchildren. Or maybe they want to volunteer for a worthy cause or something. So I help them in those aspects. And I take their time in listening to what they want. As well, I also bring in my group some st- stories of successful people who had successful goals.
And something we talk about here often on The Bubba Show is goals and dealing with other issues. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. You missed an episode. LibertyTalk.fm. Let's step out here for a break, and we'll come back with Linda right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're visiting with Linda Baron-Katz about mental illness, her own story, a book on Amazon. Let's get back to Linda right now, and here we go, Linda.
What does it take to complete a goal? And what we usually do is what we work with small steps, baby steps. We don't just jump right away to the big steps. So we want to focus on small steps. And once you can focus on that, then maybe later on, if you have future bigger goals, you can focus on that.
Well, it's kind of like one step at a time. And that, and yes, that's the same way you were able to help yourself. Well, you just didn't all of a sudden say, I'm cured. Obviously, you're never really cured, but you didn't say, I'm better. I need to work on one step at a time and move forward. Because, you know, again, you know, most things in life relate at some form or another. And, you know, when you're battling, you know, mental illness, it's a very big challenge, because that is a very big weight around your shoulders, because there's times when you just feel, I believe, probably out of control, because it's so hard and it's so tough to be thinking things that you think when they come up. And, you know, one of the things when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about is the social media world. And I believe they have adverse effects, especially on children, because I think that a lot of things go on. And of course, children, you know, have depression issues just like adults. It's not, unfortunately, depression doesn't know anybody. It knows who it attacks, and that's it. And I think that there's some things happen with kids that, and I think some of it derives from the social media world. So when we come I repeat that many, many people struggle from this, and some struggle in silence and suffer when there is ways for you to do better and to get help. But Linda, I have a big problem. You know, we have in kids today, there's a lot more, unfortunately, suicides, which obviously typically come from a depression state. And I'm a believer that some of this social media actually pushes people over the edge and is not beneficial. I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Well, I think sometimes the social media, I mean, I think they make it more than what it seems to be. And you know, society today, I mean, unfortunately, there is still a stigma with mental illness. And, you know, there's some, even with children, young adults, teenagers, they don't want to admit that they have a problem. And I think it's very, you know, when it becomes very hard for that person to deal with the problem, I mean, it can be very much harder to get them into treatment. And I think social media brings that stigma, and they relate to that stigma, and they get scared because of that stigma, because of what the news media brings to them. I mean, you know.
Does you think, though, I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, I coached kids, and, you know, I was always very much on top of some of the things they were dealing with because I understand it and I know things happen. But do you think that that sometimes people pretend to be something that they're not on social media, and somebody who's going through a very rough time will look at, you know, Jane Doe and, man, she's doing great. How come I can't do as good as that? And just brings them into a deeper depression?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, they see this other person doing so great, and they wonder, well, why can't I be like that? I think the key thing that people with mental illness have to remember, and especially children with mental illness, they have to remember that they're their own unique individual. They're not like everybody else. They have different problems, different issues that they're dealing with.
Right.
So, I mean, while people with mental illness have a common thing, and common goal, common thing, but they're their unique own person. You know, when I was first diagnosed with bipolar, I said to my psychiatrist that, oh dear, I'm like my mother. And you know what he said? No, you are not your mother. You are you. And just hearing that to this day is still stuck in my mind. And I think that's what people need to remember, is that they are their own unique individuals with their own set of problems. So while maybe social media may have some influence, but only if you let them have that influence on you. I wrote a book for children, Peter and Lisa, A Mental Illness Children's Story. And I wrote it for children who are as early as 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, so they can have an idea what their parents go through when they have mental illness. And I think it's very important for children and school-age children to learn that when they're very young about mental illness, so they can know what to expect when maybe their parents have it, or when maybe they become an adult and have it themselves. And, you know, so I think one of the things that schools need to do, schools need to be educated about mental health, about mental illness. And NAMI is doing some great work on that very aspect. NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness. So the schools is the one thing, you know. They have health education classes, but they don't have a mental health component in schools. And they have to have that because it's very important. It can make children, make the students aware and maybe decrease the number of risks to suicide.
I agree with that. And so if you're a parent and you're what are some of the warning signs that you would look for in your children that they might have a problem?
I'd look at their disrupted behavior in schools, the fights that they get into, the reason why some of them are failing in their school subjects, why they're doing so poorly. That's what I look into. And I look in and see if they can get them some help with a counselor early on.
Okay. And if you had, as we come to a close here, if you had, I got about 45 seconds or so, but to give advice, what would be the advice you would give everybody out there to make sure that they could, A, recognize that they may have a problem, and B, how to get help for it?
That recovery is possible with mental illness. That you should stay on your medication and stay with therapy and do something productive with your life. Be part of a support group. All these things will help in the future to make your life well again. And to remember that mental illness is not the end of the world. It is just the beginning of a whole new life process.
Linda Barron, go ahead. You got another couple seconds. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, it's just a beginning of a whole new life that you start from scratch. Sometimes you cannot go back to the way things used to be. Sometimes you have to find new choices, a new focus, a new career. So, so recovery is definitely possible, and you should not give up hope. And you should continue to strive toward your goals and dreams, but take them one day at a time.
And you heard it from Linda Barron Katz, Mental Illness, My Story, on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. And that's great advice. Linda, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Linda Barron Katz, Mental Illness, Her Own Story. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will step out here for a break and come back to business right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Try to get back on a more cheery topic now, and of course, as I mentioned earlier, before we get started, the jobs number was coming out today, and it was basically on target as to what the street was expecting. And, of course, one of the things we learned is that the street is the street, and they've priced in a lot of things. But as I was telling a live audience this morning when I was trading live in front of them, I said, look for gold to pop off of the number. And, of course, it did, because I think they had overestimated how much it could move. But overall, it told us nothing. Okay, now, I was looking for today to be a breakout move, and it still may be. You know, we could see residual effects on Monday. We could see a lot of things happen, you know, differently. But, obviously, markets are very confused as to what to do next and where they're going to go next. I think that You know, again, I will continue to tell you that I do believe that the next big move is down. But, again, we're not going to predict it. We're not going to get too excited about it. We're going to kind of sit back and have enough patience to wait for opportunity. But what did we really learn from the jobs numbers? That jobs suck. Okay. You know, they're chirping about an average hourly wage peak of 0.2%. I mean, really? God almighty, I might be able to get, if for a whole week, I might have been able to earn an extra McDonald's coffee, not Starbucks, but a McDonald's. Okay. You know, I don't know. I'm frustrated because we have idiots that run the Federal Reserve. I mean, why can't they just tell us that, look, we got some problems, we're going to deal with them, we're going to fix them, instead of trying to pretend like that the problems don't exist? I mean, does that bother anybody else out there? I mean, we know there's problems, but why do we have to pretend that they don't exist when we know that they do exist? So isn't it easier to explain that, hey, we got some issues and we'll fix them and we're going to work on it, instead of, well, you know, we'll see, I don't know, I'm not sure? That's what I find troubling, is that nobody wants to admit that there's a problem. Okay, there's a problem, and that's it. Let's fix it. Let's work together on fixing the problem instead of trying to ignore and evade the problem. You know, I mean, it's clear to everybody that there's issues and things going on. And the only way to work our way out of these issues is to admit it so that everybody can be on the same page and say, hey, this is what we need to do to make things better. I mean, yeah, listen, we're Americans. We've been around. We've been through these things before. And the one thing that always causes the most amount of trouble is the unknowing, okay? You know, remember, it's not the knowing what's going wrong. It's the unknowing or the misleading information that you continue to think about. So what do we do from here? Well, you know, there's the school of thought that believes that we're waiting to hear from the election, and not much, and volatility will not be here until the election. But of course, if you remember, in 08 was an election year, and of course it was wild before the election. So I don't know. I mean, I think really what you've got here is you've got markets that are moving and not going anywhere. I think you've got a lot of big indecision because money's not quite sure where it wants to go. I think you've got issues to deal with. You've got this way overpriced oil right now. Now, the oil, I think, is still higher. I think the short covering rally was first, which was last week. And I think this week is the hurricane, because, you know, typically weather that could bother some refineries or could be some issues out there. And besides the fact that, you know, these guys are going to take advantage of it, so they keep oil prices higher, you know, it relates and they make more money because there's some emergencies. You know, this is the old story, you know, get it when you can. And but, you know, what do we know for a fact? We know that there'll be, you know, when the rig report comes out next week, there'll be a billion more rigs back on. No, a billion, but, you know, another 20 or 30 more rigs add back on, which will be pumping up the supply again. And that is something that people don't think about, okay? That, you know, yes, there is, we've been drawing down, but as soon as they're ready, they're going to fill it back up again. So overall, I mean, we've got nothing. We've got a mess of nowhere. We've got grain markets that are churning. You know, it was interesting. You saw yesterday wheat get clobbered from the day before it rallied. Corn did not hold. It's 345. Beans continue to stay in their range. Hogs look to have finally found a little bit of a bottom. But at the end of the day, okay, we're not going much of anywhere, except the agricultural markets are getting hammered, because one of the things I tell you about those and warn you about is that those markets will tend to drift lower when uncertainty is around, because they do not yield anything. I mean, they yield, obviously yield crops, but I mean, they don't yield any dividends. So, you know, people are going to come out of those things if they're not going up, because, or there's not action, because they need to be in something that's paying dividends. But as soon as they start to get some action, and if the market starts to sell a little bit, which I think it will, then a lot of money will flow, because money is always looking for a place to go. But, you know, again, it ain't easy, okay? It's easier to wait and recognize the footprint, though, okay? That is something that you should always recognize and wait for, because waiting for the footprint is the whole key to what we do, okay? Again, markets will tell you where they're going to go. If you're patient enough to wait for the answer, the market will tell you exactly what it wants to do. Not maybe, but not, it won't always do what it thinks it wants to do, because sometimes it'll change its mind. But at the end of the day, the market will tell you what it wants to do. You have to listen to it, okay? And, you know, we can hear, you know, experts talk about blah, 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 it's going to do this, that. No. What's going to happen is the money is going to decide. Every market in the world, cash is king. Price moves the market. And until we get the signal, we're going to sit here and say, hey, we're in this big old choppy range. We're going to try to sell the top and buy the bottom of the range until we are given a better sign or a better clue. But until that happens, we are in this together, and we're in it stuck, okay, waiting. And this is what makes good markets, is when you have enough and the patience to sit back and wait for things to happen in your favor, you will find that you're a much happier camper down the road. Okay. And again, you know, by the way, all my friends out in Florida, please be safe, be careful. I know it's a disaster out there, and there's a lot of bad things going on. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, everybody comes out okay. And first of all, physically and health wise, but then obviously financially. But this is going to be ugly as well, because this is going to draw on upon insurance money. And since they're not making any money, this could create some havoc as well into the marketplaces. But, you know, overall, we're really in the middle of nowhere. We know the bad news. We know what's going on. But until the Fed quits giving away the free money or keeping interest rates low, we're going to continue to watch and marvel at what the Fed does, which is so ridiculous. It makes you want to puke. But you know what? Let's go up on a happy note. And we got football coming up. We've got the Sporting Edge tomorrow, if you guys want to listen in. And in the meantime, when you miss one of my shows, and how dare you do so? No, just kidding. When you miss one of the shows, you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day. Help me get to 300,000 downloads a month. I'm working hard to do there. LibertyTalk.fm. And also check out BubbaTrading.com. A week from tomorrow, I've got a great webinar on hedging. And it's free. All I have to do is go to the website and sign up for it. BubbaTrading.com. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see somebody tomorrow. And other than that, have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. And God bless all. And I hope everybody's safe. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow. I mean, we'll see you Monday. Sorry. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.